Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Shot off the bar. Sabres there with some good puck play to get it to Zach Jones, who comes up with iron. And James Thompson. Benson finds Thompson. Sabres continue with the pressure here. 5-on-5. Over on the far wall. Here's Hellenius in front. Jason on top.
Still trying to narrow down a goal song for the blue and gold games this year at KeyBank Center. We got 40% of the way through the list last night, and here's hoping that this weekend against the Red Wings on Saturday afternoon, they'll be able to light it up a little more and we can have further evaluation. In all seriousness, low scoring affair, but very similar feel to the night game before for Buffalo against Columbus, which is undermanned Jackets from a star power standpoint. They are playing again tonight. It's 4 days in a row for Columbus. So if you're wondering, okay, why? Who are we seeing for them and who aren't we seeing? Okay, this is pretty good perspective as to why. But you know what? Nobody cares about the Jackets right now. The point is the Sabres, 6-1 combined, you know, results here over the two games against the Jackets.
So just to start with the goal song, a new day, a new vote for me. I decided I'd listen to all five again today. And yesterday I voted for Swords of a Thousand Men. Today it was Tick, Tick, Boom. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is that it went back to my Madden 2008, 2009. You know, like that song was really big on that game, I believe. And so it went back to this. So I voted for that today. And we didn't get to hear it last night. So it wasn't one of those last night that was played. But yeah, I think that we didn't hear the cannon on Monday in Columbus. And, you know, defensively, again, 5-on-5 yesterday. Overall, only one high danger chance the Sabres gave up to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. It was really well played defensively. Look, Lyon was good, made a couple of really good saves. Levi came in, made 5, right? And if you looked at the highlights on NHL.com, and you didn't even see one of those saves because it just... there was nothing that Columbus pushed, especially late. Maybe the 6-on-5 a little bit, but I like the way the Sabres played. Mm-hmm. Again, managing the puck, even from the get-go, Duffer. So Thompson, Norris, and Benson are on the ice. They get a good shot. Dahlin one-timer, right? The first shift, 30 seconds in. They stayed on for the next face-off. But then there was about 20 seconds in, and they were tired. Tage, instead of counter and trying to attack, turned around and dumped it in and went for a change. And I'm like, okay, like I like a puck possession game when you're fresh, when you're 20 seconds in your shift, but 45, 50 seconds in your shift early in the game, dump it in, don't turn the puck over. So I felt like that was very evident in the way that the Sabres played. So you had to make Columbus really work to create some offense because you didn't take any unnecessary chances.
Do you think we will hear Tick, Tick, Boom on Saturday?
Yes, we will hear Tick, Tick, Boom on Saturday. Absolutely.
For the record, the Hives, who of course produced that song, played NHL All-Star Game in 2008. So that's vintage that we're going
and with. And I like that it is Tick, Tick, Boom, because that's, you know, one of the jokes in the locker room was always when a French guy would ask for tape, somebody would say thin or thick, and right. they would be like, can I get the tick tape or the tin tape? So I like that it's tick, tick, boom. So it just goes back to my speaking. So that's good.
Yes. And I don't know. I don't even, I guess you have to hear it in the moment. I think today's vote by you should maybe be the front runner. That's what my gut is telling me right now, but we'll see.
I do like it. It's a little different now. I do believe after a quick search that Edler with the Vancouver Canucks had that as his own personal goal song, maybe like 7, 8, 9 years ago when teams started to do that a little bit. But you know what? Like, we know what Kickstart My Heart is like. We had it last year as a goal song when the Sabres were blue and gold. Black and Red, we know that it's sung too by Blur, going back to the late 90s and early 2000. But yeah, I feel like Swords of a Thousand Men and Tick, Tick, Boom Now are my two favorites.
So you didn't like Every Time We Touch when that ended up being the game-winning goal on a...
And I like the song itself. Like, that goes back to my pooch, pooch, pooch.
Right, I was thinking
in the
of
club,
you last
like
night.
Moments, right? Like... It goes back to that, but I don't feel it in the game situation. And, you know, I don't feel the lyrics in that game situation. I just, it feels good. Like if I was out and had a few pops and I was like, okay, let's get going. Mm-hmm. And that song came on, it would be a different vibe, but I just don't feel it in the game moment.
Well, the winning moment was produced directly, if not unintentionally, by Hellenius to Zucker. And it was, you know, it was at a, I mean, the Sabres could easily have been miles and miles ahead in last night's game. But they truly did kind of just stick with what they were doing. They ended up having a massive disparity in shots and all the other metrics that they did in Columbus.
Again, mostly in the second half, right? It's something good to see. Mostly in the second half. You take over in the second half.
But even like in the second period, I thought one of the really impressive lines, again, you're factoring it up against, you know, the opposition, but Neuchev with Lecision and Rosanne, they produced far more high danger chances than any of the other forward lines last night. I mean, that may sound strange given how dominant Norris, Benson, and Thompson were from a shot attempt standpoint, but when that Lecision line got some looks, they were dandy ones. And I was, you know, Neuchev missed, you know, the end of last regular season, the playoffs, had long recovery of off season. It's a really tricky and challenging spot for him in his career right now. You know, he's trying to show why there was that draft interest in him. I thought there was a little flash of his best at the end of the Prospects Challenge when he got in on the Monday game. And I definitely think if you were paying attention last night, you would see why Neuchev is appreciated for his instincts in the game. He has very, very, very good instincts. And Lecision looked the part of a guy that can help Rochester this year for sure. And playing between Neuchev and Rosanne last night looked like a trio. And who knows what the trios will be. There is tons of depth potentially in Rochester this year. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention that line from last night.
That's a really good point. And, you know, like I'm watching it on Sabres.com. And I'm like kind of wondering, like, who's 13? Like, I'm thinking, okay, that was Josh Norris last year when he came in, but he switched to 9 and 6, and who's 13? And I had to go to my game sheet, and that's Lecession. And number one, I laugh because I was a big fan of his dad when he played for Quebec early in his career, Curtis Lecession. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, the son, and he was born in Carolina when dad played for the Hurricanes. And so there's hockey pedigree in there. And I thought he stood out, like number 13. Like the number stands out, but I thought he stood out. Neuchev, I saw him practice in the prospect challenge because he was still not ready to come back like the first day, right? So the very first game that they had in the prospect challenge, the Friday morning, I was watching their morning skate. We had the show from Lecom Harbor Center.
Yep.
And he was still not ready to come back. He did come back a little later, but I worked him like practice and attack the net and do some like skill drills. And I was like, whoa, there's something there. Look, he was listed 5'11", maybe 170 pounds. Obviously, a slender, smaller figure. But everybody's been talking about how he gained some muscles and he gained a little mass, and it showed. And I thought Roseanne played well with those two. So yeah, that line was good. Helenius, for me, was the one that stood out the most. Mm-hmm. He had a chance in the first period when Zucker gave him the puck. He came out down the right wing, his off wing, put it over the net, right? Fedotov was caught out of position. Yes, there was a little bit of an accidental play on the Zucker. I think Alenius is trying to make a play, but good players sometimes by losing the puck, by being in the right position, will make a good play. Mm-hmm. So Zucker ends up potting it in an empty net, basically, for the 2-1 goal. But I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, like you have McLeod, you have Zucker. If you've got an injury, would you want to put a Helenius, young, talented player on that line? I would think that Konsa is going to start in Rochester, but
yes,
as soon as you got an opportunity and it is to play with a couple of veterans or on a skilled line, instead of elevating a Krebs or a Malenstein or no, grab one of those guys that deserve that opportunity, like Helenius, and put him there. And I thought he jumped ahead of the line right now in the way that he's responded after a so-so prospect challenge.
Well, in the eyes of some, this has been a long-time problem within the game of hockey, is never promoting skill when skill is needed in the lineup, right? You carry 12, and as I have been told about this, not being, you know, it might have preceded my era of totally understanding the game a little bit, but back when the rosters were smaller and you didn't have as many forwards to choose from, i.e. fourth line players, that was more of the door for the higher scoring AHL player to come up and actually get real minutes as opposed to being put in a 5 to 7 minute situation on a fourth line. And I think everything you're talking about is exactly what they're experimenting and or hoping with Helenius right now. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he is past Östlund or Roseanne on the depth chart, although his draft pedigree puts him in a place to do that. But he's younger. And I just, if anything, the other guys who are not named Helenius should see this.
Oh, right? 100%.
And it's like, holy cow, I would love to play well enough in the first month of the season to get called up if necessary and play with Zucker and Tuck or Zucker and McLeod or whomever, right?
Or Thompson and Norris because maybe there's that opportunity. And it goes back to 20 years ago, and I know it's a long time ago, but in 05-06 when we started having like injuries, like what did they do? They called up Pominville. They called up Roy. They put Vanek in a scoring position. Mm-hmm. They had Drew Stafford moving up like – you had skilled players being given that opportunity, right? So much so that when those guys, like I remember when Briere and Dumont came back from the sports hernia, it was like, oh, what are they going to do with the Pominville and the Roys? But no, they've earned their spot by that point. The team was better. It was a new NHL based on skills and scoring. And okay, and look at what happened. So I think you've got to look at it that way. And everybody's got a role. And, you know, you have to fill in your role, but if you do have an opportunity to play more meaningful offensive minutes and Helenius was given that opportunity now, he responded. And I love, and you talk about other players, pay attention to what Lindy Ruff is talking about. Mm-hmm. Lindy did not like Helenius' penalty with about 4 or 5 minutes left. This is a hooking penalty. Well, keep your stick on the ice.
Yeah.
He put him back out there, and he loved the response. And now,
would he put him back out there in a regular season game, though? That's the
well. You know what? you're probably right, but my thinking is that okay? Like, how would I say this? Like, learn things in preseason too as a coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I tell the story of me and John Tortorella. He pulled me out of a game in New York against the Islanders. I gave up three goals in the first 12 minutes, and he pulled me and put Lundqvist in. And after the game, I went into the office. I said to Torres, and I was a veteran, and I said, listen, I know I didn't have the good start, but I think I can get myself out of it and keep it at 3 for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I can flip the switch and give me that opportunity. You don't know me as much. That was my first year. Give me that opportunity. And 2 weeks later, we had a game against the San Jose Sharks at home at MSG, and people are screaming, "We want Lundqvist." It's 3-0, right? And I looked over at the bench, and Torts gave me the Heisman, like, "You're staying. Show me what you got."
Yeah.
And we ended up winning 4-3 in a shootout. Now, different situation. I'm a veteran. I've been a number one. I've played, 500 games, whatever. But I do feel that if you're Lindy Ruff, and now you've tested that on Alanis, mm-hmm. not saying that he's going to take 5 bad penalties and every time you're going to put him out there, but one mistake doesn't mean you sit on the bench. And it means learn from it, especially mm-hmm. early in the season. Build on that.
And this is a very isolated example because it's a top pick that had been playing well and had earned the right, and
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So that in itself is a lot like if Thompson takes a penalty with 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Is he not going to get used when he comes out of the box? Probably.
He's coming back.
Probably going to get used, right? But what I was going to say when you broached this subject about the Hellenius penalty, I really liked the tone with which Lindy spoke about. Now, obviously, there's no reason to be inflammatory. Don't tell that to Dean Evason. But there's no reason to be inflammatory at this time of year.
Or right? Pete DeBoer, who doesn't have a job now because of it.
But incredibly, and this is the circle of life and how things come around, remember how Lindy, and you dropped Darcy's name not long ago, so how Lindy and Darcy approached the new era of the NHL coming out of the work stoppage of 04-05. Mm-hmm. The number of times Lindy talked about where the stick can't be. Oh my gosh, I feel like I heard that. Oh, and guess what? The Sabres came out of the work stoppage, and I would have to do some fact checking here, but it felt like they were on the right side of power play advantages for a while before other teams around the league caught up and before the league started to change back a little bit, which is part of how Anaheim won the Stanley Cup in 2007.
If we had a barfing emoji back then, every time, like, there would have been a quote on social media, like, we need our sticks on the ice and can't have sticks parallel to the, it's going to be hooking. Yeah. People would have been replying with barf. Like, we've heard it like enough now, but We had referees come into training camp because it was new for the referees too to like call penalties. And it was like, as soon as your stick got up, penalty. And it was like nauseating. It was so bad, but it helped. It helped. And I think that that's a good lesson for Alanis. Look, it's training camp. You're going to get called. Would you get called on that penalty in March or April or even in the playoffs? I don't know. But you're getting called now, so be careful on that. Mm-hmm. But go back and give me another shift. And I think if you're Kulik or Roseanne or Austin, or and you're seeing that, like, okay, like This is a team and a staff that's going to, that's not going to sit down and you know, kind of not even look your way. They're going to give you that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and take it. And Elenius took it last night.
Lots to get to around the NHL, taking your thoughts as well. So why don't we, as we try to put a bow on last night's victory, which was 2-1 over Columbus. So they take the first and only two preseason meetings with the Jackets. Now it's two against Detroit starting tomorrow and then Saturday afternoon in Buffalo, but Detroit tomorrow on the road. That's a game that'll be streamed on Sabres.com and heard right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. So you get two with the Wings and then two with the Penguins to close it out. But all the talk, much of the talk going into last night and maybe flies in the face of your opinion was Benson with Thompson and Norris. Now, I was excited, obviously, because really wanted to see Josh Norris get going and have a strong start. Every single number points to the fact that they had a strong start, so much so that producer Jeff solicited one word from our audience today on social to describe this line. So electric playoffs. Nope, not with a question mark. Sorry, playoffs. Skilled, gorgeous, smooth. I'm reading this on the fly. I have to be careful. Yeah. We don't have any bad ones in here. Magic, temporary, speculative, intriguing, and the one that resonates with Marty most on a one-word answer, fun to watch.
Yes, that's good. So here's the deal, Duffer. I'm speaking to everybody that's in my age category now. Like, I had to be fasting for a couple of days because yesterday was my very first colonoscopy I'm sharing to the world, but it's like, it's what it is.
I'm raising a glass of Metamucil to you right now.
Thank you very much. You know, the fiber. So not only did I have my first meal in a couple of days and I was enjoying what I was eating yesterday, Benson made me eat my own words because on the show yesterday, I was very, very, concerned.
Cautiously, I don't even know if you were cautiously optimistic. That might be the wrong phrase too.
No, yeah. I was concerned with the fact that Benson, I didn't think would fit with Norris and Thompson. I love Zach Benson as a player. I think he's that Claude Lemieux, Brad Marchand type that goes in, gets the puck, works hard. But does he have the skill level to be a top line winger and then to find Norris, to find Thompson, to make plays, not just enough on the forecheck, but in transition, in the neutral zone? And I was eating my own words as I was enjoying my first meal in a few days, because every time I saw Benson with the puck, there was confidence. There was confidence in the neutral zone. Mm-hmm. Finding Tage coming down the right side for a good shot in the first period off the rush. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the play on Thompson's goal. But I was very, very pleasantly surprised with how those three played together. Now, they did play against a very less than NHL level top line yesterday. Mm. But when you look at the 5-on-5 numbers, they dominated the, I think the shot attempts for that line were 17-1 at 12-1 shot attempts when they were on the ice. So they dominated, but the plays and the chemistry was there. So thank you, Zach Benson, for making me eat my own words yesterday. It's only one preseason game. I'm going to say this, like, let's not go and get all like, woo, this is a top. Like, okay, let's see it, you know, consistently being able to do that. That's why we got somebody saying temporary.
Temporary, yeah.
Temporary was one. Like, okay, it's good, but temporary was one. Skilled, gorgeous. I like it. I'm on board with all of that, but I'm going to need to see it more, and I'm pleasantly surprised.
52 years later, after thank you, Sabres, we get thank you, Benson.
Thank you, Benson. Thank you, Benson. Thank you, Benson.
this could be a thing. Oh, man.
But it's true, though. Like, I heard Jeremy and Joe talk about it this morning on WGR, saying, what's his love? Where can he go? And Sneaky Joe said, I think Benson can get 70 assists. And Jeremy White put the brakes on that. He goes, listen, There was four players with 70 assists last year in the NHL. They were
Kucherov,
MacKinnon, and Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. So listen, Benson is not a 70 assist guy. No, probably
he'll take
not
40.
Even a 50 assist guy. Well,
40
but he
would
be
unbelievable.
40 yeah. would be great.
40 would be unbelievable.
15 goals would
Look
be
at his
55
career
points.
I mean, yeah.
He had 28 points last year, whatever it is. Like, let's pump the brakes. But I did like what that was put together. So I'm gonna give it a chance.
Well, it's possible that through all of this, the one figure, and maybe this is why we don't do it all the time, but it was his first preseason game, and he tends to dominate, and it's Rasmus Dahlin,
oh, yeah.
right? Like there were more oohs and ahs in the arena last night created by Dahlin, which is often the case. And he was a presence, you know, before that goal that ultimately put them in the lead
yep.
With his physicality. And that's the stuff, like just let guys feel the all scenarios impact of Dahlin, right? He can make you look silly inside of his zone trying to get it out, more often than not at the offensive blue line, but wherever he pinches down to engage physically, I think he still, despite this being year number 8, I think he surprises people with the pop that he, you know,
the
hits people
thickness,
with.
The yeah. thickness and the heaviness that he can show. Now, look, in the first period, there was a couple moments in the defensive zone where he was a little lackadaisical and casual and didn't end up in the net. If that ends up in the net, that's the first clip on social media. Look at, but again, let's go back to if it doesn't end up in your net, if you're getting a save, it makes the whole narrative different. And I'm not saying that Lions saved the world last night because he didn't have to. I'm not saying that Georgiev saved the world the night before. Made some good saves. But there was some turnovers. I think the Sabres were credited on the game sheet with 11 or 12 giveaways in the game. Mm-hmm. So there was some giveaways. Dahlin, I think, had a couple.
Yep.
But you're not looking at it negatively because it doesn't end up in the back of the net. And then you say, oh, look at that play at the blue line by the Columbus bench when he put it through the feet of the defender and came out the other way. The one-timer, the heaviness on the pinch right there before the Zucker goal. Like, okay, that's great because this is what we need to expect out of Rasmus Dahlin. And there's going to be some casual plays defensively. And sometimes they will end up in the back of the net. But when it doesn't, we forget about those very easily.
Talked about the wins right off the top. Talked about the goal song, which again needs your attention. We had two versions played on the final five list as we, that was last night when Buffalo scored twice in their 2-1 win over Columbus, but we're down to five. We're whittling it down to one for the goal song this year when the Sabres are playing in blue and gold. So this is your opportunity to vote on a daily basis. And, you know, just by getting involved in this, entering, you enter to win two tickets to the home opener. And you can vote once a day now through October 3rd. Mm-hmm. Winning song will be announced in advance of the home opener, which is, of course, October 9th. But as mentioned, next home game, where hopefully you hear all five of them in one sitting, that would be nice, begins on Saturday afternoon at 3 against the Red Wings. So again, sabres.com/goalsong. We're back after this to zip around the NHL right here on Sabres Live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.